Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatikacharya Sikaho, Shikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nachinanda, Shed Waita Gadadar, Shivasiti Govinda Bhakti Vrinda Kijai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Go Gopinath, Shamakunda, Radhakunda, Gidigabadan Kijai, Vrindavan Dam Kijai, Nabadip Mayapur Dam Kijai, Ganga Jamunamai Kijai, Bhakti Devi Talasi Devi Maharani Kijai, Samabeda Bhakti Vrinda Kijai, Harinam Sankirtan Kijai, Brihat Madanga Kijai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Garanga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Text 26. Maitreya Uvacha Swasambhavam Nisamyaivam Swasambhavam Naisamyaivam Tapo Vija Samadhibi Tapo Vija Samadhibi Yavan Mano Vachaha Stutva Yavan Mano Vachaha Stutva Vira Rama Sakinavat Vira Rama Sakinavat Maitreya Uvacha Swasambhavam Nisamyaivam Tapo Vija Samadhibhi Yavan Mano Vachaha Stutva Vira Rama Sakinavat. Vaishnavis.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Vacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Swasambhavam, the source of his appearance, Nisamya, by seeing, Evam, thus, Tapaha, penance, Vidya, knowledge, Samadhibhi, as also by concentration of the mind. Yavat, as far as possible. Manaha, mind. Vachaha, words. Stutva, having prayed. Virarama, became silent. Sa, he, Brahma. Kinavat, as if tired. Mm-hmm. Translation. The sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, after observing the source of his appearance, namely the personality of Godhead, Brahma prayed for his mercy as far as his mind and words would permit him. Thus, having prayed, he became silent, as if tired from his activities of penance, knowledge, and mental concentration. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Brahma's enlightenment in knowledge was due to the Lord sitting within his heart. After being created, Brahma could not ascertain the source of his appearance, but after penance and mental concentration, he could see that the source of his birth, and thus, but after penance and mental concentration, he could see the source of his birth, and thus he became enlightened through his heart. The spiritual master outside and the spiritual master within are both representations of the Lord. Unless one has contact with such bona fide representations, one cannot claim to be a spiritual master. Lord Brahma had no opportunity to take help of a spiritual master from outside, because at that time, Brahma himself was the only creature in the universe. Therefore, on becoming satisfied by the prayers of Brahma, the Lord enlightened him about everything from within. Om Aginatimidam Dasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, Lord Brahma has concluded his prayers, and so this is like a transition here. And now the next thing that's going to happen is we're going to hear a response to those prayers from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu himself. And this is all being described to us by Parashara Muni, who heard it from Palastra Muni, and working back, you know, through the earlier parts of this Bhagavatam. But I think that one point that really got me here is that Lord Brahma, we've heard the whole description of, you know, how he was born from the navel and et cetera, et cetera. So he's a very very special living entity, and his special qualification is he has a really strong desire to serve Krishna. Lord Brahma and the subsequently, the demigods that create, you know, we always hear of them as being Sakama devotees. Sakama means with some desire. But, yeah, they have some desire, but they also have a big desire to serve Krishna. They're, you know, they're big devotees. Lord Brahma is a very big devotee. Agni, Surya, Vayu, Chandra, they're all great devotees. They have some desire, but they're all great devotees. So, and the basic mentality of... they have some material, yeah, thank you. They have some material desire in addition to having a very big spiritual desire to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they also have some material desire, and that's why they're referred to as Sakama devotees as opposed to Akama devotees. Thank you. So there's many things that contribute to the mentality of a devotee. But one certainly is, you know, very foundational mental attribute or quality is appreciation. So there are two, in the English language, there's two words. They're very similar. One is benefactor, and the other is beneficiary. So I'll read the dictionary definition for those two words because it's kind of relevant to what we're, that point I'm trying to make. A benefactor person who gives help to a person or a cause. Okay, simple definition of a benefactor. And a beneficiary, a person who derives advantage from something. So, Lord Brahma, all the demigods and devotees in general, they can understand that we are beneficiaries. We're beneficiaries. We're deriving advantage from something. The benefactor. And the benefactor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's like a basic core understanding of devotees, that I'm a beneficiary. I mean, the mind I have to think with, you know, the my memory, my ability to discriminate, my powers of judgment, that's a gift from Krishna. The air I'm breathing, that's a gift from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The water I'm drinking, it's a gift, you know, the food I'm eating like that. So, and a devotee has appreciation for that. See, he's appreciating. He knows I am a beneficiary. So, if somebody's a beneficiary and they're not ungrateful, then two things. Well, one thing definitely is they should want to pay it back. You know, there's that expression, pay it back. Pay it back means like, okay, the person who I'm deriving these benefits from, I should do something to reciprocate with that person. That's there. And then more recent years, they have a new expression has been invented, pay it forward. And that's an interesting expression. It means not only that you appreciate what you're receiving from your benefactor and you try to reciprocate by paying it back, but in addition to that, you appreciate the you know, the whole, like, the phenomena that this person, with no obligation, did something kind for me. So not only will I pay that person back, not only do I want to reciprocate with that kindness, but understanding that what a wonderful thing that was, that this person, for no obligation, is just was kind, I'm going to do the same thing to somebody else. So that's also, that's a further development of a devotional mentality. And that's kind of a basic way of thinking that's required for preaching. You know, it's like a devotee is thinking, I mean, he's preaching on the instruction of the order of the spiritual master, that's there too, but another aspect of it is he's appreciating, yeah, I've received so much, you know, from my spiritual master, from Krishna. Now let me do something to share this with other people. Let me try to give them the same benefit, the same good fortune that I've received just out of the kindness of, you know, the heart of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's there as well. So once again, though, it all starts with core value is appreciation. So I want to read an excerpt from a morning walk conversation that Prabhupada had here in Los Angeles in 1973. It's just a paragraph. He was with Sroop Damodar, who was Goswami. Not at the time, he was just Sroop Damodar. He was the devotee who headed up the Bhaktivedanta Institute, the science preaching wing. So anyway, so Prabhupada's walking with him on Venice Beach, and he says, Krishna is asking you that you realize me. And Prabhupada's playing both sides of the conversation here. So then Prabhupada goes, no, I cannot see you. And so Prabhupada, you know, the other side now goes, no, why you cannot see? Here is water. You are drinking water. Yes, I am the taste of water. Why don't you see me? Prabhasmi sasi surayo. I am the sunshine. So who is not seeing the sunshine? why the rascals say, I do not see God. God says, I am here, but he says, I do not see. Liars. If you are in my front, if I say, here I am, and if you say, no, sir, I do not see you, what is this? Similarly, God is before you in the form of sunshine, also in the form of the taste of water. So don't you see the sunshine? Why do you say that I do not see God? Who has not seen the sunshine? In the morning, very early in the morning, you see God. That is Gayatri Mantra. Om Bor Bhavasva Tat Savator Varenyam Bhargat Avashadimihi. That is the obeisances to the sun. In the very beginning, you see God by the sunshine. Now, this, so Prabhupada's, you know, making this point that Krishna's saying, you realize me, and he's, in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna's presenting different ways in which a person can appreciate him. The light of the sun, the taste of the water, the sound and ether, the original fragrance of the earth, right? These are all ways, if you kind of are aware of those, you appreciate those things, you're appreciating Krishna. It's the beginning of that development of appreciation, which gradually will develop into love of God way further down the line. But this is the very beginning. So then Prabhupada goes on to make this point. So, and how to develop this into love of God. He says, okay, in the very beginning, you see God by the sunshine. Then he says, then think of the sunshine, how much potency it has, how everything is being produced by the sunshine. So that's what we're supposed to do. You see, in other words, Krishna puts out these examples. You know, they're in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There's some in the 9th, there's some in the 10th. And then we're supposed to meditate. You know, we're supposed to meditate on these things that, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, like Prabhupada says, how much potency the sunshine has, how everything is being produced by the sunshine. He goes on to say, when there's no sunshine, we become disturbed. Why don't you understand that without God's presence, we cannot do anything? So that's kind of like the conclusion that, you know, a person appreciating these different gifts, you know, appreciating all the different ways in which we're a beneficiary, which we're receiving, you know, benefits from Krishna, will come to the conclusion that, yeah, well, actually, like Prabhupada says here, without God's presence, we can't do anything. We couldn't live. We couldn't exist. And then I had another realization that, you know, Prabhupada said, that's about Bhagavad Gita, said minimum words, maximum solution. And I find that's true of Prabhupada's speech as well. Minimum words, but maximum realization. Like when you actually meditate on what Prabhupada's saying, don't just, you know, read it and just, but actually think about what he's saying, you get these volumes of meaning in just a few little things that Prabhupada says. So anyway, the next thought that Prabhupada presents, he says, it does not require any big philosophical speculation. That's another major point. He's pointing out that this appreciation of, you know, God, the gifts of God, the form of the water, the sun, the this, the that, you know, that's, and that we can't exist without, you know, we're beneficiaries, we can't exist without those gifts. That doesn't take any big philosopher. You know, you don't have to be some big philosophical gyani or something like that to understand those things. And that's the point he's making here. He says, does not require any big philosophical speculation. He says, but the rascal will not admit as directed in the Vedic literature. That is their fault. And that's the Vedic process, that it doesn't require to become a God-conscious person doesn't require an abundance of original thought. Not at all. You just have to take the cues from the, you know, from the Bhagavad Gita, from the Vedic literature, meditate on those things, you know, appreciate what what's being said, what we're experiencing directly in our own lives, and what's being, you know, confirmed, the same points are being made by, you know, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And that way we develop, we become a God-conscious person. It doesn't require being a big philosopher. We just have to take the cue, you know, from the, as it says here, directed by the Vedic literature. So up till this point, though, this everything I've just said here, this is very basic. You know, this is like very entry-level God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. But actually what we're doing here is actually very high level. You know, the Krishna conscious movement is actually, we're presenting what I just said to everybody, but simultaneously we're presenting like the PhD program of God consciousness. You know, somebody comes to a Hare Krishna temple, they hear things like this, but they're also introduced to deity worship. You know, they're also introduced to the chanting of the holy name. You know, these are actually very high level spiritual practices. And so one may ask the question, well, you know, how is it that, you know, people coming just off the street with maybe no God consciousness, how are they going to be able to appreciate these very high level spiritual activities such as the chanting of the holy name, studying of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the worshiping of the deity like that? Well, Prabhupada did say on one occasion, he said that in Krishna consciousness, first you sit on the judge's bench and then you develop the qualifications. You've heard that one? First you sit on the judge's bench and then you develop the qualifications. So he, in other words, so initially we're not really qualified to be doing these activities. You know, we're not on the traditionally, the level of consciousness that's, you know, was required for people who worship the deity or were chanting the holy names of the Lord. Or this is like, you know, very people in the high level of consciousness, but we're just Kali Yugarites, you know. But Prabhupada said, first you sit on the judge's bench, you take up the process, and we'll develop the qualifications. And he gave another example of, so just like during a war, sometimes they have what's called field command. You know, the general needs to put an army together. So he, and you need hierarchy. You need officers. You need enlisted men. You know, so he just field command. Okay, you're a lieutenant. You're this. You're that. He just appoints him, and so that all, you know. So it's true that just on that person, just on the general's say so, just like that person is in that position. But at the same time, he has to work on becoming qualified. So by the mercy of, you know, Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of the Parampara Disciplic Succession, we've been introduced to devotional service, which is very exalted. And we're sitting on the judge's bench. But we have to remember that we have to develop the qualifications. You know, that's there as well. And which takes us back to today's purport. It's talking about how Lord Brahma, he was enlightened by the Lord who was sitting within his heart. And ultimately, it goes back to sincerity. Lord Brahma was very, very sincere. So therefore, he was enlightened by Krishna from within the heart. And so the same principle is still there now. Those, if we're really sincere about our devotional service, that's how those will develop those qualifications. We're sitting on the judge's bench, but the way we'll develop the actual qualities of a devotee is if we're very sincere about executing the instructions we receive from our spiritual master, then Krishna reciprocates and he'll turn us into devotees. You know, in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti porvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te tesham eva anukampartam aham magyana jam tamaha nasyami atma bhavashto gyana dipena bhashvata. That to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Out of compassion for them, I, who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So that was Lord Brahma's qualification. He did like that. And the result was that Krishna enlightened him from within his heart. And in the same way, if we're following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, sincere about executing the instructions of our spiritual master, then we'll develop those qualifications. We'll be enlightened from within. We'll be sitting on the judge's bench, but all the qualities we require to be proper devotees will be awarded to us by Krishna, by his anukampantam, his causeless mercy. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or something, a comment? Okay.
Thank you for elucidating on these particular points of our relationship with Krishna, where we get our source, our power, our ability, and that this doesn't come out of a vacuum, out of nothing. It comes from initially the Lord. This whole class can be summed up in, I believe, Krishna's statement, I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. That's it. I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Therefore, everything comes from Krishna. Nothing comes by itself, and nothing merely comes. It's all coming from him, and we give all credit to him. And when anything we do, which if we happen to do it well and do it right, we give that credit also to Krishna. And we take the, when we make mistakes, we also take the demerit of the mistakes to ourselves because we didn't depend upon Krishna. Krishna's perfect. He can do anything and everything perfect, and also, if he wants to, can do it imperfectly too. So, but the main point is that when we depend upon Krishna, we're depending upon the finest, the best, the greatest, the highest. And if we depend like that on everything that we do, we try to think in our minds, please, you, for example, I'll give an example in my own life. Whenever I would give class, okay, I never simply stepped up to the Vyasa-san and just started speaking. Generally, what I would do is for 1/2 hour, I would pray to the Lord in the understanding that I know nothing and that I can't really say anything of any value. If I have anything of value, it comes from you, you, Lord. So, therefore, what I'm saying is that please help me, guide me, direct me, enable me so that I can say something that would, so that I could say something that would be what you would say. So therefore, everyone will get your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas, rather than mine, which are full of impurities and all full of ignorance, full of difficulties, that misunderstandings and the like. But Krishna is perfect. So if we get him speaking through us, and he can do that, and then what happens is that what goes out to everyone here is coming from Krishna through that devotee. And that's what we got from Srila Prabhupada. And that's why we loved his talk so much. Because, I don't know if he did what I did. I don't think he has to do that anymore. But when you're growing up spiritually, as I feel I am, I need help. I'm like a cripple. I don't know everything perfectly. But Krishna does. And since I want the very best, I want the highest, I want the greatest, the most wonderful for everybody sitting in this room, how can I do that? I don't have that ability, but Krishna does. So therefore we beg him, we cry out for him, we entreat him, please speak through me so that everyone here can get your message and not my possibly distorted message. And if you do that, everyone will be highly benefited and will take it to the next, hopefully, level. That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, Mother.
Did somebody up? I'm a little rough on my knee. Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Actually, for me, it was very refreshing to go back to the simplicity of understanding Krishna, like in the beginning of my... In the beginning of my Krishna consciousness practice, I was thinking of Krishna as the taste of water every time I drank it, but now I got caught up in the higher practices of Krishna consciousness. I forgot that. So I feel gratitude for you to reminding this. I think it will be a great addition to meditate on that every day.
Yeah, again. Thank you. So I don't do that. But there's the one with the sun that just smacks me in the face. I just can't help it. You know, it's the original phrase. Well, taste of water, I have to remind myself, you know, okay, Krishna's the taste of water. But, you know, something like the sun shine or the original fragrance of the earth when you get out of Los Angeles and you get into something, you know, 50 miles away. And there's certain of these things that Krishna says, they just, boom, they just knock you in the head and you can't help but appreciate them. And it definitely helps us in our God, at least it does me. I find it's practical. It helps in God consciousness. I mean, when I see the sun and I'm appreciating that, I'm not thinking of, it just immediately invokes or awakens thoughts of God consciousness and, you know, appreciation of Krishna. So, it's a very practical program. You know, Krishna's hasn't given something in the Bhagavad Gita that's impractical. It works. Anyway, thank you. Go ahead.
I appreciate that it's practical. I got a fortune to speak to different people recently. One who is a sailor, and it's a woman, and she said, like, I hate sailing. But what I like being in the middle of the ocean with this unlimited sky and unlimited ocean, and she feels like she's a part of creation. So this is her way to connect with God.
Right.
And then they talk to a skier who turns out also like, yeah, he likes skiing, but he more likes to be there, reciprocated with the elements, with the snow, with the earth, with the mountains, with the air. So which also makes him feel the part of the creation. So I was amazed that, like, it's a simple way, really practically understand how we are related to Krishna. And with this goes my question, as you mentioned that, like, we're judges sitting on the bench until we develop qualifications. So with the new people for the preaching purposes, how would you advise, like, we meet them where they at and give that as a process as simple as where they at, so they can relate to Krishna, and then slowly introduce them to the higher practices. What would be your advice?
New meaning, just visiting the temple?
Yeah, or? like the preaching, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, just encourage them to, you know, come, participate in the activities, take prasadam, but also to read the books, because everything's in Prabhupada's books. And see, I mean, you know, if they... Ultimately, we want to be able to experience God's presence in His holy name, you know, by chanting purely and worshiping the deity like that. But initially, that's kind of difficult for people, so they can appreciate God's presence, as you said, like that lady, you know, appreciating the unlimited sky and the unlimited sea. So you have to try to bring them along. You know, I mean, if we're more advanced than them, if we've already traversed that path, so to speak, that ground, we should be able to know how to bring them from where they are to at least where we are, kind of thing. So, but that's it. Just, you know, give them association and just point them in the right direction. Anybody else, anything? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaro Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
thank you. Can I have a...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see the hair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good. That's much shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. Looks a lot better.
I feel much better.
Yeah. Very good. How's your wife? Is still... Oh, your wife is with you still? Your wife?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't see her. You come every day.
She's in Tijuana right now.
Oh, she's in Tijuana. Okay. And you had two daughters and one son, right? Two daughters and one son?
No, two and two.
Two and two. Okay. You met one son. I don't
know. Two sons and two daughters.
Is the son, one the oldest son? Is the oldest? I met the oldest.
He has a restaurant over there in Tijuana.
Oh.
Vegetarian restaurant.
Okay. I met one son and two daughters.
Oh, yeah?
I came to your restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Chintamani, right? Chintamani? Yeah. And my wife and I came to your restaurant.
What is it?
My wife and I came to your restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
In Tijuana.
Yeah, I remember.
That was nice.
That was years ago.
A long time ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, good to see you. You're still here practicing Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Well, there's no other way.
Yep. That's it for us, right?
Because you see, I realize.
Yep.
I'm not the body. Why? Because in this life, I have the... They put me for the clean my blood.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yep.
Dialysis.
Oh, dialysis, right. Yeah.
Yeah. On this side, they put a mark, seal.
Oh, yeah.
See? So I am like a robot, but with Christ, a clean conscience. Yeah.
We're living in a machine. It's a machine.
That's
it. It's not us. We're just living in the machine, and while we're in the machine, we have to try to drive it properly.
And when I go over there, see, like twice a week, and you see the people over there suffering a lot. They cannot popo, they cannot pee pee, they can't drink water. They are suffering a lot. So the way we speed and stuff like that, because I just told the nurse, how come I come over here and I come okay, but after 3-4 hours over here, usually my like it's because we are taking the toxins out of your body. I said, but I have 40 years, no meat, nothing like that. See? I like these people all their life eating meat, so this is a lot of toxins. You cannot clean it. You cannot. See? And another thing over there, you see, I don't know the signs outside. They was just putting me an injection in the blood, you know, from the pig. And my son was, hey, look. I just don't know. I'd rather die. I don't put me that. How can they put you this kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's Western. They have no...
What kind of sign is that?
They have a different way of thinking about things.